This is an MUT Radio podcast.
It's 15 minutes after 11. Welcome on the Hlanganani Midday Show. My name is Awetu Kelese, DJ Sawa on radio. And today we are back with a second session. Yeah, blessing. Last week, we did have Blessing Moke, who is the interim director of the compliance and ethics at the registrar's office. She's back again today to speak mostly about respect and excellence. Blessing, good morning and welcome on MUT Radio once more.
Good morning, and once again, thank you for welcoming me again.
You know, last week you had a complaint, Uti. We don't have a copy of of values, and as promised, our participants made sure Uti bazosilethela. As you can see in front of you, we do have it.
A beautiful, well framed one, exactly, with all the values and the explanation of those. I'm impressed. Actually, I'm not impressed. I'm charmed.
Ah, thank you so much. We comply.
Yeah.
You held us accountable, so I comply.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go through it. Last week we spoke more about accountability and integrity. But I feel like Ropile integrity.
Oh, yes.
I wanted us, before we go to respect and excellence, I wanted us to go back to integrity. Tell me, someone who wasn't listening last week. By the way, the podcast is there. You can check it out on the MUT Radio app if you did not get the last week interview. Before you listen to this one, please go back to that one and listen to the interview we had with the Blessing. Let's go back to integrity. Masikhuluma nge-integrity in a workplace. What are we speaking about?
Oh. Basically.
It's a loaded one.
This one is not loaded. This one is personal.
Okay. All right.
Like I did actually even last week, I would then take it back and try to bring the point home, because I understand even when we do the workshops and what have you, we always want to say in a workplace.
Yes.
But the challenge is there is no workplace without people. And people come in their individual spaces, in their individual beliefs, and in their individual conduct. So when we talk integrity, we first start with an individual. So integrity will then take you back to your ethics. So usually in our field, in a corporate, we integrate the two words, integrity and ethics. So when we talk integrity, we just talking mainly to your beliefs. You cannot separate honesty from integrity.
Okay.
But it's something that is loaded in within a human being. So it goes back to your definition of your ethics. When you talk ethics, you're talking about doing good for self and others. I'm sure you would be aware of the notion that people say, well, in order to prove integrity, you must be able to do good when no one sees you. But let's phrase it and say, integrity is doing good even when you are not. Because when we put in the word even, it means you're not only doing good when you are seen. You are doing good when you are seen and also when you are not seen. So it's more of a character that carries what you do. But remember again, last week you spoke about the area that I'm in, that I said it's driving on two lanes. One lane is the lane of the good and the other one is for the bad. And I also indicated that the bad one gets faster than the good one. Now, again, when you get to integrity or when you get to doing good, you find someone believing that they are doing good. And yet they are good. It's good for themselves, but not good for others. That is why organizations now need to have values, and they also need to have beliefs, and they also need to have a code of conduct that says, this is how all employees, we as an organization, would love our employees to behave and to conduct themselves. Now you come to MUT, it says to you, we want our employees to be honest. being honest, mainly because these are the processes that we must be followed, and these are how things must be done. And but by following those things and aligning yourself to the values of MUT, as explained by MUT, it makes you an integrity person within an organization. But then again, it can bring that conflict. Before you ask the question, it can bring that conflict of, am I not being ethical, or am I not being an integrity person when I go home and do bad things and then come back to an organization and do the bad?
That was going to be the question. Does it now affect if I'm doing something out of the workplace, if I'm doing my own things besides emsebenzini, maybe it's a weekend, I'm not at work, I'm not comply. Okay, do I have to comply as an employee at MUT, as an employee in a certain organization? Do I have to comply with the core values of that particular organization, even if I'm not within the, you know, the institution?
That is why I always bring it to a personality. Or that is why I always personalize it. Because the challenge is, a human being cannot last living two lives at the same time. It's not possible. You can try it, but it won't last. I'm not saying it's not happening. It won't last. The other one will surpass the other. And at the end, you would overcome the other side. If you are a good person at work and a bad person outside, one day your bad behavior will overrule the good behavior at work. Then you'll become a bad apple. That is why there's been a lot of cases, especially when social media was coming in and our government had not yet been ready with the policies and governing rules on the social media. You'd find organizations suing employees for wearing their t-shirts and conducting themselves in a bad behavior, because it's a brand of an organization.
And you represent that brand.
You are representing that brand. But then it becomes challenging, because you take your beautiful MUT t-shirt giving to someone who is in need of clothes. So that person is not even an employee. So those were the challenges that were going in the media regarding the behavior and the conduct. Because at that stage, it's not an MUT employee, but it's MUT brand at stake. So integrity goes with ethics, doing good for self and for others. And then with those elements that comes underneath.
I hope Sonke is really. Now, let's speak about respect. We are all taught respect at home. We are all taught respect emakhaya. But now, same question here. Is it different? Does it have a different meaning when it comes to in a workplace now?
Yes. It doesn't. No, it doesn't. It shouldn't. Respect is respect. The only thing that will be different is the circumstances, is the challenges. If you are a respectful person, that is why sometimes someone would say circumstances pushed me to behave in that manner. But it is only circumstances that changes almost our behavior. But that's mainly because sometimes we lacked emotional intelligence to behave in a way that we were trained. So I appreciate when you're saying we are taught respect from home, but colleagues, I'm sure you all know that is not only happening. That is not happening to all the families. But then when we talk about respect, we're talking about a sensitive internal character. It's as tough as love. Tough as love. So we can let's see what our university is saying about respect. It says we respect our colleagues and work together for shared success. Then it goes on to say we treat others with civility and openness, recognizing the dignity inherent in each individual. But now here's a scenario that we now put. I am coming in with a bad behavior. The university is running a campaign to say, living the university values. Today we're talking about respect. Now, when I come in and do the GBV, not only GBV, bulldozing, when they bulldoze kids at school? When your boss is just bulldozing you for no reason.
Okay.
And you have to continue acting with respect in that instance. How do you then react to that? So hence I'm saying respect is tough as much as love, because it goes with your emotional intelligence. It means you will have to know when and how, when to react and how to react. And at the end of the day, you end up being an individual. So at the point where the university has now get to go in and teach employees respect, the most critical course, and I believe I've seen it in the trainings for the MUT training program, there is that emotional intelligence course. Otherwise, we will see a whole lot of bullying within the university. When bullying is happening, it's mainly in most cases that I, as a senior person, behaved in a manner that oppresses someone, and yet our value is saying we respect and give a dignity to. So the thought of respect, it's just coming in and accepting the situation or the person for who he or she is, but only to find that for the person who he or she is, it's not delivering. I've got subordinates who are working and I'm trying to get the work done. Mm. But because I'm pushing them, they feel like I'm bullying them and they feel disrespected. As a result, what do? They don't bring back the respect.
Yeah.
Automatically, it tarnishes the relationship. So it started with the person who was in demand of the work. Had the person been emotionally intelligent, he wouldn't have attacked the person for not delivering the work. He would have came up with mechanisms to say, colleagues, let's get into a boardroom. We have a meeting. Can we give an update on 1, 2, 3?
Yes.
If so-and-so didn't do this, can we get so-and-so to assist you so that we can deliver in time? Create a conducive environment. And I'm sure that is goal number 5 of our strategy.
Mm.
Create that conducive environment that says we are all together, and that talks to, again, recognizing the dignity inherent in each individual. Because the challenge now becomes, how do I respect you if you don't respect me? We get this from our own kids.
Yeah.
My 18-year-old literally stands up and tells me, no, ma, respect is earned.
Mm.
But we didn't grow up like that. We grew up knowing that anyone who is above you, you respect.
You respect that person regardless.
But given the new generation, what is currently happening? You would say your daughter is respecting your uncle only to find that your daughter is submitting to the wrong things that the uncle is doing to her. Are we going to call that respect?
Definitely.
So a whole lot of things have changed. And that is why it's very important to dig deep into these values. Are we then saying, because I am a senior and I've got this young boy as a subordinate to me, do I then have the right to go and tell the boy, come and do me this favor as an element of showing respect?
Definitely not. Mm. Okay. I don't know if you've answered this, but I wanted to ask you about the importance to have like a respectful workplace.
Yeah,
the importance of it.
It is. It's very important, and it starts with the culture. It will take us back to the culture of the university. How do you build a culture? It's not something that will start now and end in a year or two. It's a lifetime process.
Mm.
The importance of having a respectful workplace, it creates harmony. You know, have you ever had employees being happy when they go to work?
Mm.
Because they know that there is peace. Where there is respect, there is peace. There is love. There is understanding.
It's like me coming to MUT Radio.
Oh, yes, I can see that.
Yeah.
That is visible on its own. Because when you get here, there's happiness. There's people smiling all over. I hope it's not just Hollywood.
No.
You know Hollywood. When people are told to smile, your job is to smile.
It's to smile. Literally.
So we just hope that comes from the heart. Because, again, everything that has to do with the values of life, of a workplace, it comes from an internal personality, not how I look or not how I act. So it's very important to understand having a respectful organization gives you the courage. It makes it even easier for those who don't know what is respect to automatically get in the environment and start respecting.
Mm.
That's the important thing. Because once there is a value of respect, it's lived, the culture of an organization changes.
Automatically changes. I wanted to ask about how now does that affect the institution, having a respectful workplace. Let's say MUTNJ, everything is going according to order. Everyone respects each other. How does that affect, or how does it have effect on image and climate of the institution?
Oh, wow. It's maybe I will take it to HR, will talk to that more. But there is no organization that gets happier when their turnaround is less. Like employees coming in, coming out. And you find that employees would rather work for this company than run after salary increase, monies, and what have you. Why? Because the environment gives you more harmony, gives you peace. It gives you content. You become content, and your delivering on your responsibilities becomes much easier. It becomes more peaceful. So yes, when an organization has a respectful, actually, like I indicated in the beginning, that it starts with a brand, and then after the brand, it goes to the people. But the key challenge that you get organization face is that they end up recruiting people without assessing them, whether they align with their values of respect, their values of accountability, their values of excellence. They miss that point. So once you miss the point of aligning an individual who joins an organization with the values, then you'll have a challenge of changing the culture of that person. So it's a cultural thing, and it's just create a harmony. Performance wise, the institution will flourish.
Okay, I wanted to ask you this question, but I'm not going to ask you. Or should I ask you?
Yes, please do.
Okay.
Please
do. Do you think the university is doing enough to teach us about the respect? You did mention that you found that in all these trainings that are happening,
there's
emotional intelligence. There are trainings like that. But do you think it's doing enough to teach both employees as well as
stakeholders, students
about respect?
Again, I would say it's too soon to tell.
That's too soon to say.
Yes, okay. Because I would have had an opportunity as well to conduct one of the campaigns, one of the trainings on the university values for the ethics purposes. But I couldn't get that opportunity.
Okay.
The most important thing is, at times you find when you go through that emotional intelligence training, when I looked into the content of it, there is something that I strongly believe. If each and every employee will go through that training, I would be content, and I would be able to say, yes, the university is doing enough, because it's teaching individuals how to have an acceptable attitude towards differences with employees. We are all not the same. That is why a university is seen as a diversified organization, because we've got students from different cultures, employees from different cultures, and you also have faculties running from different industries with an approach and a goal that is there to make an impact to the whole country, not only for the university itself. So it's very important, again, to align.
Align. Maybe how best can students and stakeholders, the employees, be taught, like, the best maybe you were speaking about campaigns, maybe that's the only way, it's not the only way to actually, you know, run these campaigns of, you know, showing these core values to the students, to the employees, so that they are aware of it. And I like the fact that we have all these core values in each and every building of the universities. That's one of the things Plan B is Ngenziwa.
Yes, but then just to add on that, it's a good one. It should not only be the campaign or just putting it there, because we pass and we read, oh, respect, excellence. Okay. And then you know how we do it. We read and start judging. Ha, huh, they're saying respect, but Mabotse doesn't respect me. He even calls himself a compliance or an ethics officer, but doesn't have the respect for me, because we all interpret respect in different ways.
Okay.
So the way I would advise is to have the managers, the senior managers, the line managers being trained on how to train to avoid, and make sure as well that our core values becomes a compulsory training to all employees, even your suppliers. Your suppliers need to know that whatever is it that they're supplying to the university, they are aligned with the values.
The values of the university.
Some organizations make the supplier to sign a code of conduct or an agreement to say, we agree that we will abide by this, we'll be honest, we will do, you know, in our... So all those things is very, very important. So doing enough is just making a compulsory training on all students. It's easy. I mean, our SRCs also, when last were they trained? If we call them in and say, let's talk about the university values, because they need to sell it to the people that they're representing. So it's very, very important. And now imagine a graduate from MUT knowing and living these values, making an impact in our country as an employee or as a CEO.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good implant or a good seed sowing back into our country, you know.
Wow. Now let's speak about another core value of the university, which is excellence. And I feel like all these values comes more especially within a person. It's more of a personal thing than, I don't know how to put it, but it's more, it comes within. It's, you have to make an impact towards. Let's speak about excellence.
Yeah.
The significance of it and the meaning of the excellence.
You know, if we go back to accountability, we go back to respect and integrity, before we get into excellence, they all come from knowledge. So what you know will make you behave, or will build your value, or will build your internal personality. Now, when we get to excellence, we all understand that there is a mediocre performance, like people just perform, that's it. Some, they just on average. So what the university is literally saying, let's go back to the values and read exactly what do they say about excellence. The university is saying about excellence, they're saying we are committed to delivering a consistently high quality service. It is not just a service. No, it's
high,
not just
quality.
High quality service, teaching and research through superior performance. Now, it goes on to say, we strive for excellence, seeking to apply the highest standards to benefit our communities. But now we then say, how do we excel in what we do? Because excellence is going above what you can do. It's just performing above your
above,
norm, above
it?
The norm.
You the know, word if, says it if, all, excellence.
Yeah, if you take all white bubbles and put them there, and then you've got one red, the focus will be on the
that
red.
One red.
That is what we call excellence. So we are now saying we are striving to be different. We are striving to go out of the box. We are striving to. But then in order for us to do that, it means we will have to perform above the knowledge that we have. It means we don't just have to do what we have to do. We have to put in more efforts in what we are doing. So at times, in order for you to get to that, living that excellence value, it will mean you'll have to put in more efforts, because you cannot expect to give in less and receive more.
Yes.
That's gambling. Right? You want to gamble with 5 friends and win a million. But in this case, we're looking at what you put is what you get. But now when you talk excellence, we are now saying we want to put in so much to an extent that our cup should overflow. So you keep on pouring into your cup. Even if it's full, you don't stop. You continue pouring until it overflows. Now excellence goes into the overflowing of that cup, going into the other. That is why it goes on to say to benefit our communities. Now, the community is not the cup, but what comes out of that full cup, it now becomes more than enough, which is measured as excellence, and then the community benefits.
Now, how do we create a mindset to our employees?
Now, the mindset, it's something very critical now, because when we talk about a mindset, we're talking about an engine. And university has too many engines. A mindset of an academic person is totally different from a mindset of a service person. And it's also totally different from a mindset of Skelembi or someone with negative thoughts.
Which means we would come with different approaches for different people.
But when it comes to excellence, it depends on the standard that the organization puts
for itself.
So if we're saying this is our standard, if you perform below 60, you do not qualify to be part of us. That is where now you push the people to perform towards higher than what you want.
Exactly.
But now the mindset of that, it's the mindset of growth, is the mindset of positive. It also needs to start, that they say setting the tone from the top.
Yeah.
Sometimes we take our leaders for granted when they keep saying, you have to have this qualification in order for you to be in this position.
To qualify for this position,
And then we just feel like they are blocking us. It's just a train of practice. And in order for a person's mindset to change, it's practice. And consistency. That is what can change the mindset of a person. So if the university consistently continues with values talk all the time, it gets into the person's system, they get used to it, and then the mindset changes. So instead of saying it, doing it today, and then next week,
I feel like they are okay now.
And it's very, very time consuming and time wasting, because you start, it's just like me when I'm doing my diet. I start day one, day two, day three, and then I lose it because I saw some beautiful steak.
Exactly.
And then what happens? I go back.
You're lost.
So I've wasted 3 days of my time or of my life trying to do something that I fail to maintain. So consistency, in order for a mindset to change, consistency and practice are the key things.
Consistency and privacy.
Practice
are the key things. If you've just joined us, we are listening to Ihlanganani Midday Show, and we're speaking to Blessing Moke. She doesn't want me to call her by the second name or first name, Mabuti.
Because you can't pronounce it.
Yeah. Okay.
It's let's like just leave your boots.
Okay. let's now speak about the strategies that we can develop, that can be developed for excellence within the institution.
When we talk about the strategies, maybe they should, you can get it from the university strategy as well, because we wouldn't want to go out and say strategy one, strategy two. The strategy of the university has the goals. And the goals are separated according to the divisions. Your vice chancellor has certain things that he's achieving, the DVCs, all the divisions. Now, if we understand that we have set the tone at the top with regards to excellence, we've got a vice chancellor, we've got the administrator who is driving for excellence, we automatically know that we have to follow the lead. So it becomes easy when I take my report to my boss, and because my boss expects something of a high standard, help me to change this to make it excellent. But if I have someone at my boss does not understand what is excellence, and I give my boss something that is average, my boss will appreciate that instead of training and taking it back and making sure that, the quality of something that has been worked and reworked and reworked, it becomes the best. It's like when you refine your gold, You burn it with fire. It's a painful process.
Yes.
But we get to a point where within our organizations, colleagues get offended when you correct them on a report written or on a submission that they are doing or on the work that they are doing. So in order for us to come up with that strategy, we have to start by training our line managers to accept or to teach or to take back. No, we shouldn't be shy to say, no, this is not of good quality. Can we try and improve it? But not just try and improve it. Give a guideline. What is it that is expected as an improvement of the work that has been done? So that when it comes out as a good quality, you know that that process of hurting your employee benefited them as well. They have also learned. So by the time we just accept a report or we just accept the results of a student, we are failing them. Because it's very important to make sure that you teach, and the process of teaching and training, it's not easy. We are now with a new generation that loves to be embraced, like, wow, well done, that is so good. And then even if it's not good, because the minute you say, ish, can we improve on 1, 2, 3, they get offended. Now that is where we're losing on our excellence, because we end up doing what? Lowering our standards in order to adapt to the standards of those who don't understand. We grew up in an era where we were taught in a tough, but then we now get in here and say, we want excellence. And then someone without experience. People. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to offend them. But at the end of the day, we end up saying, this is excellence, not knowing what is outside in the market. So within your strategy, we need to go out as well and compare what is it that we have. If you have a Samsung of 2019 and yet the industry is running with Samsung 2025 that is yet to be, you are not even ready because you don't know what is happening outside. So that one of the strategies that you should, it's always go out and test the market, check what you have, if you are still excelling in it.
Now, you spoke of practicing and being consistent. And I think this last question of mine speaks to that, as to how best can we sustain excellence in the institution. I don't know if you would like to add more on that. How best can we sustain?
Practice make perfect. Consistency, consistency, consistency. It's tough for me as well. You will start and you will fall. But what matters the most is that when you fail, just stand up. And try it again.
Try it again.
It's not the end of the world, because yes, of course, within a work environment, we expect that when the policy says on a daily basis, check your emails. And if you don't do it the first time you failed, it's like you are a failure because you are getting paid to do this. Again, it's a matter of practice. When you fall, stand up and do it again. You fall, as long as you are able to stand up, just stand up and do it again. One day you will perfect the process. And once you are perfecting the process, you will then be excelling.
No, because of time, thank you so much, Blessing. We really appreciate your time for you just educating us about the core values. These are some of the things that is doing. As I was asking Gwen earlier on, would say, the university, do you think it's doing enough? But it's too soon to tell. But thank you so much. Any last words, man, to maybe your colleagues, Abu Seven Zanabo, because it's your last day today. I don't know. I'm just giving you an opportunity.
I don't have much to say, but what I would just perhaps one statement is, colleagues, let's continue spreading the love. Because if you look into the university values, they are all encompassed by love.
Yes.
So whether you like it or not, it's going to be difficult for you to be accountable when you don't have the love. And love is a tough thing. It means you love. Even though someone has fallen, you not judge the person, you pull the person up and say, let's continue.
Okay.
So let's just continue to spread the love. Living the values, it can only happen when we are willing. They say, where there is a will, there's a way.
Yes.
Let us understand the values. Let us love the values. Let us embrace the values, and let's make it happen. it's possible.
Blessings. Thank you so much for joining us on MUT Radio.
Thank you.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.